ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning we want to do two texts from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from the fifth canto, 18th chapter, which is called The Residents of Jambudvip Offer Prayers. And these are two texts that are spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. This takes place in the fifth canto. It's described how the island of Jambudvip consists of nine regions or varshas. They are divided by border chains of mountains. It separates them off from each other. And the Bhagavatam takes us through these varshas. And in each one of them, the Lord is present in a deity form and is worshipped by all the residents by various prayers, led by a great devotee. So I don't have a big reproduction of this, but I pass around. Here's a map of Jambudvip with nine varshas, right here. And we start in the middle, Ilavritta Varsha, where Lord Shiva is worshipping Shankarshan with prayers. And they always begin with a prayer. As you see the first one here, it's in prose. And at one place in this section it refers to as an Upanishadic prayer, Upanishada. It's in the style of the Upanishads. And then there are others which are in various kinds of meter. So it begins with this Upanishadic prayer to the deity. So it goes around like this. It's interesting how it goes. You begin in Ilavritta Varsha with Lord Shiva, worshipping Lord Shankarshan, together with Durga Devi and everybody else who are all women there in Ilavritta Varsha. Then there's Bhadrashva, if you just go east, this is direction is called Ish, where Bhadrashrava worships Hari Shirsha, or Hayagriva, right here. Oh, you got it right there, huh? Okay. But you have to get it... No, that's not right. Well, that's really wrong. The labels are wrong. No, Bhadrashrava. We have Bhadrashrava is down at the bottom here. That's not Bhadrashrava. Huh? It's wrong.
It's wrong.
They made a mistake. They labeled them wrong. It's not just where they are. You see, the names are wrong. The one on the south should be Bhadrashrava. Yeah, like the one that here, the one that's labeled. There they are. Where's Bhadrashrava?
That's named Guru.
That's not Bhadrashrava. Oh, I was just confused. Yes, Bhadrashrava there. Yeah. What's called Bhadrashrava here is called Bhadrashrava. Bhadrashrava. It's got a mistake on it, that's all. It's not so bad. Anyway, then it goes to this one, first one in the south, which is Harivarsha, where Prahlad is offering prayers to Nrisingadeva in Harivarsha. That's here. And then it goes back up to the west side, where it's Ketumala, and Lakshmi leads the inhabitants there in the prayers to Kamadeva, which is Pradyumna, expansion of the Lord. And then you go north, 1, 2, 3, Ramatya Varsha, where Vaivasvata Manu is worshipping Matsya Avatar. Then Hiranmaya Varsha, where Aryama is worshipping Kurma. And then finally Uttara Kuru, where Bhudevi is worshipping Varaha. And then we go back down to the bottom, to the Kimpurusha Varsha. Where Hanuman is worshipping Ramchandra, and then Bhadrashrava, where Narada Muni is worshipping Narayan Rishi. So it goes around like this. at a like that. I'll pass it around. You can look at it.
Is that Bharat Varsha?
Yep. It's not India. It's the whole planet Earth. You know, that's another thing. We won't get it. I'm just trying to locate this what we're going to look at today, because these are the prayers, some of the beginning of the prayers to Lord Nrisingadev. And especially these first two are very, very nice and full of instructions for us about the process of devotional service and about the mercy of the devotees. So here, this Upanishadic text. So I've got you. We should chant this. This prayer, just like we do in Bhagavatam class. I'll break it up because we'll do it in sections. And there's no line endings, really. So you can say after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Namaste Jaste Jase Avir Avir Bhava.
Namaste Jaste Jase Avir Avir Bhava.
Vajranaka Vajra Damstra Karma Shayan.
Vajranaka Vajra Damstra Karma Shayan.
Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha. Abhayam Abhayam Atmani.
Abhayam Abhayam Atmani.
Bhuishta Om Shraum. So listen to the word for word. Om. O Lord. Namaha. My respectful obeisances. Bhagavate. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narasimhaya. Known as Lord Nrisingha. Namaha. Obeisances. Tejase, the power of all power. Avi Avirbhava, please be fully manifest. Vajranaka, O you who possess nails like thunderbolts. Vajradamshtra, O you who possess teeth like thunderbolts. Karma Ashayan, demoniac desires to be happy by material activities. Randaya Randaya, kindly vanquish. Tamaha. Ignorance in the material world. Grasa, kindly drive away. Grasa, kindly drive away. Om, O my Lord. Svaha, respectful oblations. Abhayam, fearlessness. Abhayam, fearlessness. Atmani, in my mind. Bhuyishtaha, may you appear. Om, O Lord. Shaum, the bija or seed of mantras offering prayers to Lord Nrisingha. So the translation, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisingadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activities in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Before we go on, I just want to point out a few Sanskrit features that Prabhupada doesn't mention in the purport. So first of all, this is a standard Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. You one section there, just offering obeisances to Lord Nrisingadev. And then I want you to notice in this verse how much repetition there is. Like Tejas Tejase, the power of all powers. And then Avir Avirbhava. In other words, this means be manifest, but it says it twice. Avir Avirbhava. Please come, please come. And then again the repetition of the word Vajra. Vajra means a bolt of lightning or a diamond. So Naka means his claws. We're dealing with a lion. And his fangs, his teeth, they're like diamonds or like lightning bolts. So notice how it's emphasizing power. Tejas, Tejas say, and then especially his killing instruments. Instruments for killing are invincible. And then Karmasayan Randaya Randaya. The word Randaya means here vanquish, but he says it twice. Randaya Karmasayana Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa. So it is said by Prabhupada in the second canto, I believe, where there's some repetition in a verse, that Prabhupada remarks that repetition indicates strong feeling. So you can see a lot of it here. Karmashayan, which Prabhupada translates here as ashaya, means a strong desire for karma, for fruitive activities. And you notice here Prabhupada calls them demoniac desires, to be happy by material activities. Karmashayan, randaya randaya, drive out, and then ignorance, grasa grasa, drive away ignorance. And then again asking for fearlessness, abhayam abhayam atmani, fearlessness in, and then atmani bhuyishta, may you appear in my mind or in my heart, and bestow in this way fearlessness. So this is the effect of this verse. Now, when Prabhupada comments on this, he begins by talking about this word karmashaya. And he quotes a Bhagavatam verse where the word appears. The same word appears. He says in Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22:39, Sanat Kumar speaks the following words to Maharaj Prithu. This is a famous verse. Yatpara pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karma shayan grantitam udgrantayanti santaha tadvannadikta matayo yata opiruddha sroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. Devotees always engaged in the service of the toes of the Lord's lotus feet can very easily become free from hard knotted desires for fruitive activity. So there, that's karmashayan, which is here a grantitam, a knot. And udgrantayanti, it becomes untied. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the gyanis and the yogis, in this verse they're called rikta mataya, which really means those who have empty minds. But they meditate on nothing. They're not meditating on the Lord, but they're this para panchaka palasa, not on his lotus feet. But this literally means, ripta means empty mateo, empty minds. So they're gyanis and the yogis. They cannot stop the waves of sense gratification, although they try to do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. So this Sridaya Granthi is here mentioned, this knot in the heart. It's also referred to elsewhere in the Bhagavatam as the false ego. This very deeply rooted desire to enjoy in this world or to be independent of Krishna. That's what associates the jiva
with the material body and with fruitive actions. So it's not just this desire or that desire, but it's the whole propensity to try to enjoy in the world. This is this karma ashayam, which Prabhupada refers to, you notice, both in the translation, the word for word, as demon-like, demoniac or demon-like desire. So that's this hridaya granti, this karma ashayam, the knot in the heart. So Prabhupada continues, every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed fruitive desires continue. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. So here he says it right out. This karmashayan has to go. Not just this desire, that desire, but the whole tendency to have any separate desires. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami describes pure bhakti devotional service as follows. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anakulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttamam. And he translates, one should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unless one is completely freed of all material desires, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, he mentions dense darkness of ignorance because karmasaya rantarayananda tamo grasa grasa associated with it, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. So we are on the path, we've committed ourselves to the path of pure devotional service. Anya avilasita shunyam doesn't mean that in the beginning one has to be free from material desires, but one is committed to the process of becoming free from all material desires. We are not performing devotional service in order to fulfill these desires, whether desires for enjoyment in this life, enjoyment in the next life, for yogic cities, or for liberation. Jnana karmadi anavritam, that's what it means, all those kinds of desires. If that desire is in the heart, we want to be free from it, because then we can actually fully love Krishna. So we're committed to this path. So he says here, that is our commitment, therefore we should always offer prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva. He says this word, always. We should always offer prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desire. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. Materialistic persons always desire to make the body comfortable, and for this they require huge amounts of gold. Thus Hiranyakashipu was a perfect representative of materialistic life. Notice he's a demon, but what he represents is just material life. Doesn't necessarily have to appear particularly demonic. It could even be pious material life, but it's more or less averse to the service of the Lord. Therefore, there's some tinge of hostility toward Krishna in that. He was therefore the cause of great disturbance to the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, until Lord Nrisimhadeva killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to the Nrisimhadeva as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. There's his instructions. Huh? Let's do it again. One more time. Maybe we can do it all together, huh? Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste 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 Adir Adir Bhava Vajranatta Vajradaksa Kamashayam Andaya Randaya Kamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuvishta Om Shalom. This is a good prayer to remember, because this is Prabhupada's recommendation about praying to the Sringadeva to uproot those desires in the heart. Now I have the next verse here, because you'll discover that the purport to text 8 is continued within the purport to text 9. So they go together. Here we go. So now, this is a prayer in verse where Prahlad, now after these Upanishadic prayer, he now continues in this way. So you can say after me, Swastyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam. Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Dhyā. Manas Shabadram Bhajata Dhanoksaje. Avishatam no Matyarapyahi Tuki. Let's go. Swasti. Auspiciousness. Astu. Let there be. Vishvasya. Of the entire universe. Kalaha. The envious. Almost everyone. Prasidatam. Let them be pacified. Jayantu. Let them consider. Bhutani, all the living entities, Shivam, auspiciousness, Mitaha, mutual, Dhyā, by their intelligence, Manaha, the mind, Cha, and Bhadram, calmness, Bhajatad, let it experience. Adhoksaje, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the perception of mind, intelligence, and senses. Avishatam, let it be absorbed. Naha, our. Motihi, intelligence. Ophi, indeed. Ahayatuki, without any motive. Translation: may there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Again, notice in this verse, in Sanskrit, this is a prayer, and it is full of benedictions or requests for benedictions. Swasti astu. Vishvasya, let the whole universe become swasti. Right? As in swastika, auspicious. This word swasti means auspicious. Shivam means auspicious. Bhadram means auspicious. They're all synonyms, more or less, for auspicious. And he's asking for these, the Lord, for these blessings. In this verse. So here's Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada begins, the following verse describes a Vaishnava. Panchakalpatribhyascha kripa sindubhya ivacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. A typical Prabhupada means exemplary. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities. Dayantu Bhutani Shivamitodya. Bhutani means all living entities. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities. The gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself, rather he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. This is the beginning, swasti astu vishvasya. The whole universe becomes auspicious. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Parama Nirmat Saranam. This is from the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. That the Bhagavatam says this is meant for those great souls who Niramatsara. Niramatsara means without envy. Matsara means envy. So they have no hostile feelings towards anyone. Prabhupada uses the English word envy in the sense of a general inimicalness or hostility. Usually in English, at least in American English and probably British English, envy means you want something that somebody else has. But Prabhupada uses the word in a broader sense. It just means inimical, hostile. You do not wish somebody well. So Nirmatsaranam, you wish everyone well. So that's those devotees who Bhagavatam is meant in the beginning for Dharma Projita Kaitavo Atra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam, for those devotees who have given up all materialistically motivated Dharma and are free from any inimical feelings toward anyone, wishes everyone well. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala Prasidatam. May all envious persons be pacified. The material world is free of envy, is full of envious persons. But if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. By liberal, he means magnanimous. Not liberal as opposed to conservative in the political sense, but just one who gives freely. Magnanimous. So one becomes like that. Think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. And then he quotes these words from the verse, Manasta Bhadram Bhajatad Dharoksajay. May our minds become peaceful by worshipping the Supreme Lord. Huh? Now, listen to what Prabhupada does. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisingadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray. Bahir Nrisinga, Hridaye Nrisinga. Let Lord Nrisingadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. So here Prabhupada is now continuing the purport to the previous verse. And he says, we should pray. And then he says something that's very familiar to us. Bahir Nrisinga Hridaye Nrisinga. We do pray that, always or regularly every day. That prayer is says Bahir Nisringa, the Lord is Nisringa Dev is Bahir means outside. And Lord Nisringa is in my heart. But Prabhupada tells us by saying the Lord in my heart, we are asking him to come into our heart and praying, please kill my bad propensities. We may not know what we're saying, but that's what we should be saying when we say that. And let my mind become clean. Now he's going back to text 9. So that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. So these two verses are actually a purport to Hridaye Nisringa. Those two words. Huh? Prabhupada continues. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. The Prabhupada, of course, has the commentaries of the previous acharyas, so he's especially mentioning the commentary to this verse by Vishwanath Chakravarti, which he mentions very fine. So this is now he's telling us what Vishwanath Chakravarti says. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from him. This is a good point to remember. It's almost like a rule. Whenever you offer a prayer, you request a benediction. Benediction means a blessing. Even pure Nishkama devotees pray for some benediction. So, in other words, there's not only nothing wrong with asking for a benediction, one should ask for a benediction. Sometimes we think we should not ask for anything. That is wrong. We should not ask for anything material. But we should ask. So he's saying, even pure devotees pray for some benediction, as instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shishastika. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patita mam vishame bhavam buddho kripaya tava para pankajas chitta duli sadvisham chintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up. That's a request. Please pick me up. And notice here in this prayer, Mahaprabhu is Ayi Nanda Tanuja. I mean, he really wants to be picked up. It's a very intense request. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. And another prayer, Chor Chaitanya says, Manma Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavatad Bhakti Raituki Twai. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion at your lordship's lotus feet. The same Bhajatan, similar word is here also, is it here? When Prahlad Maharaj chants Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, so again he's back to the previous verse, he prays for a benediction from the Lord. So even in that verse he's asking Kamashayan Andaya Randaya Thamu Grasa Grasa Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuishtam Om Sham. He's asking. He prays for a benediction from the Lord, but because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. Now then back to this one. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Swasti Astu Vishvasya. Let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. Now, then Prabhupada has a little discussion about the difficulty with envious people. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake, and the other is a man like Hiranyakashipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakashipu was envious of his little son Prahlad, but Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakashipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Kala prasidatam. Svastyastu vishvasya kala prasidatam. Kala means an envious person. May they become prasidatam, peaceful, or pacified. The difficulty is that the kala, the envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or the action of a particular herb. Mantrausadi vashaha sarpaha kala kaladkena nirvaryate. This is a mithi by Chanakya Pandit. By the way, I talked to a devotee recently. I forgot who it was. He told me he saw this. That in Mayapur, this cobra was lying across the path and came up and spread his hoods and everything. And this lady chanted some mantras, and the cobra just lay down and fell asleep. And they walked over him. So apparently you can do these things if you know how. By a mantra, you can pacify a snake. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. They also should become not hostile toward everyone, but wishing everyone well. Now Prabhupada goes on in a very interesting way. And you should think why he says this in this connection. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if, by the grace of Krishna, everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays, Shivam Mito Diya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others. But in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. Bhajatat tatoksajay. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayoho, and advised by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 18:65, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakta, one should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one's mind will certainly be cleansed. Chito Darpana Marjanam. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back home, back to Godhead. However, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. So apparently Vishwanath Chakravarti, in noticing the idea swastyastu vishvasya, that the whole universe becomes swasti, that is to say really Krishna conscious, what would happen? Is it possible? He says, yes, it is possible. Even if the whole universe is vacated, it'll fill up again with other living entities because there's so many of them. So this is a very nice prayer of Prahlad Maharaj, wishing well for everybody. Swasti astu vishvasya. It has a structure also, by the way. You begin, if you actually look at the Sanskrit, swasti astu vishvasya, may the whole universe become swasti. Kala proceed atam, then the envious. Now you may think, well, that's a small group, but then you notice how Prabhupada says in the word for word the envious, and then he says almost everyone. So that's also a big group. So the envious is almost kala proceed atam, and made all envious people, all those who are inimical to others, become pacified. Dayantu bhutani shivam mitodhya. Now, here may all living beings learn to think of each other auspiciously, mitodhya, mutually. May they think well of each other, may they wish each other well. Mito means each other. So may they think of each other in an auspicious way. Shivam mitodhya. They think, when they're all envious, they hate each other. Like in your traffic, you know, everybody's saying nasty things about the other drivers all the time. But here, may everybody wish each other well, all living entities. So you go from the universe, all envious persons, and then all living entities, may they wish each other well. Now we come down to manas, the mind. Now may the mind become bhadram. Manasta bhadram bhajatam. And how will this happen? When aveshatam no matter apyurayat, aveshatam, when it is deep absorbed, when our mind is not, our mind is absorbed in the transcendent Lord in causeless devotional service. So actually the sequence is, when the mind becomes pure, then we are able to wish each other well. Everything depends upon the last part. That when our own minds are absorbed in the Lord, and our minds become auspicious. So this is how this verse relates to how does our mind become clean? By calling upon Lord Nrisingadev to appear inside of it. There's a, something is, maybe turn that light off, huh? I think it's about to short out, or now it's okay, huh? It stopped now. Yeah, better leave it off, huh? I think it's bright enough. So there's some important things to consider about this. For me, the first point is that this prayer about Nrisingadev, if one is engaged in the process of devotional service and becomes serious about becoming free from material desires, the thing we gradually discover is just how deep-rooted they are. This karmashayan is very powerful, very strong. And doesn't go away so easily. And sometimes even our material desires get transferred even to the realm of devotional service. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions that the anarthas that arise from bhakti itself. These are attachments to worship, position, money, all those things. Because from devotional service, one can actually get some material benefits. And so these things can also become an anartha, something we don't want. even in devotional service. So this deep-seated desire to enjoy the world. And it's demoniac. We should understand about sense gratification, what the problem is with it. Well, there's one problem, is of course, is that it is the acts of sense gratification which cause us to identify ourselves with the material body. That's why we can say, I'm not my body, and still be on the bodily platform. Because of the idea, I'm not my body, is just a theory. So it's on the mental platform. Whereas the identification of the body with the body is deeper. It's ahankara. So what causes this union with the body? It's sense gratification and the desire to enjoy sense gratification. And this is also, at the same time, it's an act of enviousness toward Krishna. Because the devotional attitude, the attitude of a servant of Krishna, is everything belongs to Krishna. I belong to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Sharanagati prayers says, everything is yours, Krishna. My family, my wife, my children, my house, my savings account, everything belongs to you. And then he says, I do not even belong to myself. That's actually devotional service. Everything is Krishna's, including me. When there's sense gratification, Krishna disappears from view. It is the act of atheism. Because where is Krishna when there's sense gratification? No, it's just me and the sense object. It's not that I take this and use it in Krishna's service. I become the enjoyer. So this means that it causes me to forget Krishna and to identify with my false self, which is connected with the material body and the material mind. So the sense gratification continues my material existence. When we try to engage in devotional service and become free from that, we find it's very, very deep-rooted. These desires do not seem to go away very easily. How it is done is described here. It is not really that we destroy those desires, but that Lord Nrisingadeva does. We can think of our material desires as the Hiranyakashipu in our hearts. We are devotees. We are like Prahlad. We have made the decision to become devotees of Krishna. But we're still connected with this mind. And Prabhupada describes the mind as the repository, the warehouse of all ideas of sense gratification. So the mind wishes to continue in its material ways, is programmed like that. And so our own mind becomes our enemy. This is described in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that the mind is the enemy. Also the mind with the desire to enjoy in the world is like Hiranyakashipu. So it's not us. It's disturbing that we have the mind, but the mind is the not-self. Right? So we have to pray to Nrisingadeva to appear in our hearts and destroy our Hiranyakashipu-like desires for material enjoyment. So even though our desires may be big and powerful and strong like Hiranyakashipu, still, the Nrisingadeva is stronger. Vajra Nakra, Vajra Dhamsta, Tejas say. He's stronger. One place Prabhupada referred to Hitler and Stalin as the tiny Hiranyakashipus of today. He was a pretty formidable person. Huh? It said that when he was running the universe, it ran better than when Indra and the demigods were in charge, because everyone was so terrified of him. It's the story they tell, when Mussolini became the dictator of Italy, at first everybody welcomed him, because for the first time in European history, the trains in Italy ran on time. He was terribly efficient and so heavy duty, people were surprised. So here, the Sringadeva, Harandikashipu is very strong and very powerful, but the Sringadeva can destroy him. Then we have to ask, well, if that's the case and I'm praying like this, why doesn't he do it? Why still? Well, my own conclusion of this matter is we have to pray very sincerely. We cannot be praying like this, please destroy all my material desires except this one, or that one. Or please destroy all my material desires, but in 10 years. I think that may be the problem. You notice that this is the 10th offense against the Holy Name is maintaining material desires. So the idea is that it is not an offense against the Holy Name to have the material desires. I mean, the material desires are anartha, because asat Krishna, material desires, are listed among the anarthas, but it's not an offense. It's not an aparad. Only if I'm maintaining the material desire. So the material desire is one thing, and then my attitude toward it is something else. So when my material desires become manifest, and sometimes they do, we don't even know we have them, and suddenly it's there. We have to mark it for destruction. We cannot say, maybe I could just see what it's like, explore this desire, and see what it shows me. We have to target it for destruction. I've seen in the woods sometimes the foresters go through with a spray can and all the diseased trees. They go shh. Somebody's going to throw the chainsaw and cut them down, huh? Or I've also seen kids playing video games, and it's like they're looking through the sight of a gun sight, and then a tank appears, and a little X is there, and pew, and then another tank, pew, pew. He's after. Want them all destroyed, and pray to the Lord to destroy it. And so you can see that one has to pray with some feeling, with some intensity, as we see in this prayer. Karma shayan randaya randaya tamo grasa grasa, with that intensity. Or like Mahaprabhu, ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitamam. Ayi nanda tanuja, really, with some feeling like this. That seems to be required on our part. But otherwise, we're helpless, pretty much. The only thing that's in our power is to ask the Lord. And Prabhupada said we should always pray to Nishringa. He uses this word always. So he means at least in a regular way. Nitya means on a regular daily basis. So we do it. Vidaye Nishringa. In the beginning, when I became a devotee, I started chanting in contact with devotees in 1969. We were worshipping the Sringadev, but it was for the protection against the outside. And only fairly recently they began to realize that it was protection against us, or within our own movement. It's actually both. Bahir Nishringa, Riddaye Nishringa. The demoniac influences are outside and they are inside. So he should be in both places to protect us. And he's called, of course, Bhakti Vigna Vinash Nishringa. He's Nishringa. Dev is the destroyer of the enemies or the obstacles, yes, in devotional service. Bhakti Chuswami told me in the Brahma Samhita, the description is there of Ganesh, Ganadiraj, gets his power to remove obstacles in the world because the lotus feet of Govinda are placed on the two bumps on his head. The Ganapati is offering dandabats, and then the Lord's lotus feet are on the bumps of his head, and therefore he gets these powers to remove obstacles. Anyway, Bhakti Chuswami said that form of the Lord who does that is Nrisingadev. Because it's mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that one can pray to Ganapati, to Ganesh, to remove obstacles in devotional service, but generally the habit of devotees is to pray to Nrisingadev to remove these impediments and these obstacles in devotional service. So here's the prayer for doing that, that Prahlad has. So that's on the one side. We manasya bhadram, bhajitadvidoktajay. In this way, our own hearts become clean. And when we ourselves are clean, then we will wish for the welfare of all others. This is consequent on that. The devotee wants swastyastu vishvasya kala pasiratam. So this is a very nice prayer. What I put on this, by the way, in the year 2002 in Washington, D.C., the United States government was going to have a memorial service for the victims of the September 11th terrorist attacks. You may remember that not only was there a plane supposed to have gone into the World Trade Centers, two planes, but also a plane crashed into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and another plane, destined, nobody's quite sure where, crashed in the fields of Pennsylvania. So in Washington was also that many people died when this plane hit the Pentagon, so they were especially having the first anniversary of September 11th in the Washington National Cathedral, a memorial service. Now, the Washington National Cathedral is America's imitation of Westminster Abbey. America does not have an established religion, but the American upper classes tend to be Anglophiles. That is to say, they tend to be quite devoted to all things British. And so they would like to have something like Westminster Abbey. So this Washington National Cathedral was built, and it's a Episcopal church, that is to say an Anglican church that doesn't have the Queen of England as its head, but basically it's the same. It's the American version of the Anglican church, which is the Church of England. And it's what they call very high church. It's all lots of rituals, almost like Roman Catholic, not like a real down-to-earth Protestant thing. And so there's an immense building, this Washington National Cathedral. It's huge. And they have big rituals there. So they wanted to do this memorial service for the victims of September 11th at the Washington National Cathedral. But because there's no established religion in America, it had to be interfaith. And so I got a call. Actually, I was in Hawaii at the time from Rukmini, Anuttama's wife, our minister of communication, who lives in Potomac, Maryland, outside of Washington. And she was participating in some women's spiritual group that was active at the Washington National Cathedral. And she knows the people there. And so they were planning out this service, and they asked her if she could recommend somebody to represent Hinduism among the religions. They were going to have leaders of the various faiths participate in the ceremony, first by each one doing a scripture reading, and then later on by a short prayer. And so Rukmini called me up and asked me if I would do that, to represent Hinduism, a scripture reading and a prayer. And so I immediately thought of this prayer. But I said to her, you know, one thing is, this is supposed to, I'm supposed to represent Hinduism, you know. I look at the color of my skin. I'm an American guy, you know. And will people be upset like this? And especially I was thinking, you know, that there's Indian diplomatic community would be there. Because, everybody was coming to this. So she said, I'll check and I'll call you back. And so then she called me back a day later and said, they said it's okay. But I was sensitive to this. So I decided, that's when I looked at this prayer again. And then I realized that Prabhupada's translation needs to be a little fixed up for the rhetorical purposes of this event. So first of all, I said to her that I want to be able to say the scripture verse first in Sanskrit and then in English. And they agreed that was okay. And so this is how I translated it for the rhetorical purposes of this thing. Swastiastu Vishvasya, may the entire universe be blessed with peace and hope. Oh, by the way, I knew there was be a big Christian audience, so I wanted to use some terms that would resonate with them. The blessing is a good one. May the entire universe be blessed with peace and hope. Then Kalapasitatam, may everyone driven by envy and enmity become pacified and reconciled. It's just two words in Sanskrit, but I expand a little bit. And the idea of reconciliation is very popular, so I use that kind of word. And for the envious, everyone driven by envy and enmity become pacified and reconciled. And then Dhyantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Diya, may all living beings develop abiding concern for the welfare of others. And then Manastha Bhadram, may our own hearts and minds be filled with, and then Bhadram this time I said, purity and serenity. And then this is the kind of this is what's in the purport and what's implied by the structure of the verse. May all these blessings flow naturally from this supreme benediction. May our attention become spontaneously absorbed in the rapture of pure love unto the transcendent Lord. So this is the way I did this. And it was a lot of fun because there was a big procession. You know, all the people from their different religions, and everybody was dressed in all these different costumes, you know, like clergy wear on big occasions. Big procession led by, guess what? Bagpipes. Yeah, and also, you know, Scottish in this case, I guess, bagpipers, but another little Anglican touch there. So we and then they had a big stage up there at dais, and we all sat down, each one of us at a little desk. And the main speaker was Bishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa, a star guy. But the interesting thing was, I didn't make this plan, but I was the very first person to come up and offer the scripture reading. You know? So I came up and. And looking this huge, and then the cathedral in the front row, there was John Ashcroft, who at that time was the Attorney General of the United States. There was Madeleine Albright, the former UN representative. So I could recognize all these big politicians. So it felt very good because in this place I said, Swastiastu, you know, Vishvasya. And also in the right transept, I could see the diplomatic section, people from the Indian embassy, and they're looking at me. But if I said swasti astu, they would, oh, that's okay. Everybody knows. And then a little later on, I gave a short prayer, and I began that one. Ishava Shandidam Sarvam, that is said in the Upanishad. So, you know, we were cool with the Hindu part of it, you know. So it was really, and I realized there was an echo in there, so I spoke it very slowly. A lot of people you couldn't understand because of the echo, so I spoke it very slowly. And then people afterwards came up and said, that was really wonderful. Can I get a copy of that? You know, and then the devotees have taken it. They use this all the time with this particular modified translation, you know, at places. So I just thought it was a great thing for the United States government to tell them what in front of them to ask for these blessings, you know, from Prahlad Maharaj to Nisringadev. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I was wondering, and surely because of the echo, most of the speeches
are very hard to understand.
Yeah, I noticed what the acoustics were like. Also, this was on their website for a long time. They were running a tape, the tape of this. Yeah. So I got good use of this. One last point before we talk about things I like to make. In 1968, there was quite a wonderful occasion. It was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's disappearance day. In Los Angeles, December 9, 1968. And Prabhupada gave quite a wonderful talk. And in the talk, he describes, well, he begins by saying, well, we're together here. I'm from one country, and you're from another. So here we are together in this way. How is it that we've come together? He said to his disciples. And this was 68. This was early in the movement. Huh? How did this happen? He said, well, it's by the will of Krishna. And then he starts to tell the story. How in 1936, Prabhupada said he was doing some business in Bombay as a householder. And suddenly he felt quite discontent. That he felt he was not doing enough devotional service. And so he sat down on an impulse and wrote a letter to his spiritual master saying, my god brothers who are brahmacharis and sannyasis, they are able to serve you very nicely, but I'm not able to do very much. Is there anything I can do to please you? And he sent the letter on. And then he said he got an answer from Bhakti Siddhanta. That's what he thought. At that time, Bhakti Siddhanta's health was bad, and he was at Puri by the sea trying to recover his health. And he got a letter back, and that's where he said, it will be good for you and those who help you if you try to push on this Krishna consciousness in the English language. Now, and Prabhupada said, I couldn't imagine how I could do this or do that. The actual thing is this was, when you said in the English language, it meant go overseas, go to the West. That's what it meant. And it was a very familiar order because Prabhupada had already given it to all his leaders, anyone who was competent. He told them to preach in the West. Some people did go, but they returned without any success. They were recalled. So nothing was happening, and the idea that one who could go to the West was a sannyasi or brought, you know, somebody not without entanglements. And so Prabhupada was shocked to get this order. He just said, I couldn't imagine I would do this and that. And then he said, but he read this purport to the verse Vyavasa Atmika Buddhi Ekeha Guru Nandana by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. and he got some inspiration from this. In that purport, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that one should make the order of the spiritual master one's very life, and you should not even worry about success or failure, or about liberation or not liberation, just serve this order. And that's Vyavasatmika Bhuti. So he said, I tried a little in that way. He says here, we should try to carry out the instruction, the specific instruction of the spiritual master very rigidly without caring for our personal benefit or loss. The Prophet, now I'm reading what Prophet said. So I tried a little bit in that spirit. So he has given me all facilities to serve him. He's talking about how I came to the West. How are we together? Things have come to this stage that in this old age I have come to your country, and you are also taking this movement seriously, trying to understand it. We've got some books now. So there's little foothold of this movement. Now listen to this. So on this occasion of my spiritual master's departure, as I am trying to execute his will, similarly, I shall also request you to execute the same order through my will. I am an old man. I can also pass away at any moment. That is nature's law. Nobody can check it. So that is not very astonishing. But my appeal to you on this auspicious day of the departure of my Guru Maharaj, that at least to some extent you have understood the essence of Krishna consciousness movement, you should try to push it on. People are suffering for want of this consciousness, as we daily pray about devotees. A Vaishnava, or devotee of the Lord, his life is dedicated for the benefit of the people. You know, most of you belong to Christian community, how Lord Jesus Christ, he said that for your sinful activities, he has sacrificed himself. That is the determination of devotees of the Lord. They don't care for personal comforts. Because they love Krishna or God, therefore they love all living entities, because all living entities are in relationship with Krishna. So similarly, you should learn. This Krishna consciousness movement means to become Vaishnava and feel for suffering humanity. So then he goes on to talk about, people look at this in different ways. Why are people really suffering? We say here, ultimately, the real reason that people are suffering is forgetfulness of Krishna. So here Prabhupada tells us that he's passing on the same order. And Prabhupada came in a specific form, preach in English, go to the West. But the real general form is have some feeling for suffering humanity. So the order is, first of all, become Krishna conscious yourself. That's text 8. And text 9 here with Prahlad. And then you give it to others. So here in these two texts we see that same order. We should become Krishna conscious ourselves. Our own hearts and minds should become clean, so we can think of the welfare of others, and then we can give them Krishna conscious. Prabhupada says here, he concludes his lecture, so this Krishna consciousness movement is authorized, very important. Now you American boys and girls who have taken to this movement, please take it more seriously. And that is the mission of Lord Chaitanya and my Guru Maharaj. And we are also trying to execute the will by disciplic succession. You have come forward to help me. I shall request you all that I shall go away, but you shall live. Don't give up pushing on this movement, and you'll be blessed by Lord Chaitanya and His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. Thank you very much. That's all this is. Thank you. So, at any rate, I've had godbrothers of mine who have complained Prabhupada didn't give me any instruction what to do. Some people he told this, that. But here's the general order. As there, you become Krishna conscious yourself, and you give it to others. And here even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, even before, he's thinking maybe the whole universe can become Krishna conscious. It's possible. No problem. More living entities will come. this is the spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So anyway, these two prayers especially taken together, they have this instruction coming down from the succession that we should become ourselves devotees and give Krishna consciousness to others. So that's the importance of some of the importance of these two verses. So yeah, Prabhupada points out to us that they're important for us. We should offer our respectful prayers to Sringadeva as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse, he says here. Okay. So any comments, questions? Yeah.
One thing I've been trying to understand is the order of the Sanskrit, Vajrana Singham, the Vajrana Singham. The order is, first of all, the Shinga Vidal and then the Shinga. Prabhupada translates the other way around, let my heart be something, nothing distributed, but yeah. It's reversed. Do you have any realizations about why it's reversed?
Well, it seems to me that we also want the Shinga outside, at least to our inimical people outside. See? And so we also need to be protected from them. There's two ways to deal with inimical people. One is to keep them from bothering you, and the other is to change them. So first is by here in the Shinga, that at least you have some space. You have to fight off those who... I mean, with the Krishna consciousness movement is sometimes perceived as a threat by many people, and we have to be protected. I mean, I remember the days where we had to worry about devotees being kidnapped and so on, so-called deprogrammed, you know. So we need some protection. So in that space, then we can practice Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, very difficult. But then we don't just want to build a wall and keep ourselves isolated. We don't want to survive. We want to prevail. So then you have to make other people Krishna conscious too. That's the ultimate thing. I think it goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't there a reason why this being assimilated right after the party? And then the religion would also be changing machinery while they are traveling by bus.
Yeah, in a way, because Prabhupada said that the Hare Krishna mantra it can be used to address any of the forms of the Lord. So Hare could also be addressed to Hare is the vocative of Hara, meaning Radharani. But if you're in that mood, it's also the vocative of Hari, meaning can mean Narahari, if you like. All the forms of the Lord are included. The Maha Mantra is really sufficient. But on the other hand, these other prayers are prescribed. We have some other things we pray to. Who do we pray to particularly on a regular? Well, to Tulsi Devi and to Nrisinga Dev. And in a way, these are the same as the Maha Mantra. They're not. We pray to the Panchatattva. That mantra is also there too. That's true. So these see we, and of course we have Gayatri mantras. They're also there. If all you know is the 16 words of the Hare Krishna mantra, that's sufficient. But the others are there to help. So we can chant the Hare Krishna mantra better. The Hare Krishna mantra is also a request for a benediction. Oh my Lord, Prabhupada described this. Oh my Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. And automatically there's a corollary. Please disengage me from anything that gets in the way of your service. So the Hare Krishna mantra can also mean, please destroy my Hiranyakashipu-like material desires. So actually, we should keep the... It is also said that when you chant a mantra, you should keep the meaning of the mantra in your mind. So that's the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra, and that will also help us chant with some feeling. Prabhupada described in this early on chanting Hare Krishna that the chanting of the mantra should be like the crying of a child for his mother. So that's with some sense of feeling and urgency that one needs to develop. So they're useful for these purposes. Yeah, I mean that there's chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is generally classified as smaranam, but vadanam, offering prayers, is also one of the activities of devotional service. So we have many, these are called exemplary prayers. And one way to offer prayers is to, there's no copyright on this. You don't have to pay royalty to Prahlad Maharaj to use his prayer. Take it as we like. Yeah?
This question is just for fun. I'm trying to grasp the metaphysics of emptying out the universe in Philadelphia. Specifically, that you think you need a human form of life to empty out the universe. Only a human form of life supposedly can transcend the universe. If they can be 400,000 species of life, there's only 200,000 species of human life. How do you empty out the universe? And then I don't even want to give you a grasp how you fill it up.
Well, may take a little while to do it. And all at once. And every so often, other living entities also, they make spiritual progress. Even if they can't go back to Godhead in their animal bodies. They do occasionally. Mahaprabhu, there were several animals, and in fact a whole jungle that was liberated by Mahaprabhu. Then there's this story of the Jagannath story about the crow that fell down in the presence of Nila Madhava and came up again with a four-armed form. So these are stories occasionally of those who will go directly from animal bodies. Someone wrote to Prabhupada after reading the story about Mahaprabhu in the Jarakanda forest that we should also try to chant Hare Krishna to the animals. And Prabhupada discouraged that. He said, rather, we should save our energy. He said, Lord Chaitanya is extraordinary. You can't do like him. Better to save your enemy for the animal-like human beings. So eventually, you may empty out a universe. May take a little while. So all the jivas are gone. And then some more will come. I don't know where they come from exactly, but they're there.
Yeah. I was supposed to understand the request that even the dog could take part in chanting Hare Krishna. If I'm not wrong. I don't know, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Did you say that? Well, we have seen them. When they're in kirtan, sometimes they come around, jump around, and bark, and so on.
Was that dog chanting?
Well, yeah, that's true. Did he chant?
Yeah. He chanted. That dog went to Shivananda Singh.
Yeah, Shivananda Singh's famous dog, yeah.
He
right.
was chanting,
and
he was
going, hey. The animals have their languages. So they do. They have, this will become This is starting to be, people are starting to, scientists are starting to understand that animals have languages of many things that were thought to be exclusively human. They finally discovered some monkeys making real tools, so that was another human exclusive that turned out not to be. So they have their languages. I just got this book about that they just published about called Vrindavan As It Is, and there's a whole, somebody tells a whole, it's from Hayagriva's book, Vrindavan Days, about Prabhupada talking to the monkeys in monkey language. So it's just said that Krishna spoke to the different animals in their languages. Well, they have their languages. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Something I really like about this the year to sing under the hand of singing really ties in what Prabhupada talking about Bhagavatam being meant for bringing a revolution. So actually the devotee is, this is a revolutionary thing to bring peace to the entire world.
That's quite an ambitious, huh?
Yeah, it's a very revolutionary prayer.
Yeah.
May I be able to bring peace to the entire world. Very revolutionary.
This used to be our peace march, was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, right? During the anti-Vietnam peace marches, we used to go out and chant Hare Krishna. We even had this little peace formula there in the camp that was probably we passed down. Yeah.
I actually, an SDS activist introduced me to the mantra.
Is that right?
He had actually written a lecture.
You better explain to me what SDS is.
Oh, the Students for a Democratic Society, the big radical anti-war group in the 60s. He had actually written a lecture he was going to read to them, telling them to chant Hare Krishna, that he decided he would be laughed out when he didn't read it to them. He firmly believed in the power of the mantra.
That's very good. You see, the trouble is they keep having these protest movements, peace movements, revolutions, but people neglect to clean their own hearts. And so the liberators of humanity become the next oppressors because the hearts are dirty. They don't know like that. The thing that always reminds me of that's so funny is during the Vietnam War era in America, the protesters used to carry this sign that says, "Make love, not war." And people had the idea that because the Pentagon generals weren't having sufficient sex and were frustrated and therefore angry that they were taking it out by bombing other countries, and if they just had more sex, then that would be peace on earth. But this is a mistake. First of all, the generals of the Pentagon, as it turned out, were having plenty of sex. And the second thing, of course, they're two sides of each end Deutsche, you know, they go together. As soon as there's desire, there's hate. Because you want something in the world, so there's desire. And then anything that gets in the way of your enjoyment, you hate. So they're two sides of the same. You cannot eliminate the hate and keep the desire. They both have to go. So and that's why the peace movement also turned into pretty nasty also in the end. There's no people because manastabhadram, you know, that's not there. This begins with manastabhadram when the mind becomes auspicious, then you can everything else. It's just like also there's an attempt now, the environmental movement, to clean up the environment. We should consider what our environment is. In the Bhagavad Gita, the body is the kshetra. That means our actual environment is our own body. And within our own body, the part of our body that's the closest to us is our own mind. Our subtle body and our mind is that part of material nature to which we are the most closely related.
So if you want to start cleaning up the environment, start by cleaning up your own mind like this. If it has to work from, that has to be there. You cannot clean outside without cleaning inside with any effectiveness. So this is what the environmental movement also, not just the peace movement, but the environmental movement needs to know, where the dirt is and where you have to start.
This is actually recycling. Recycling means aham sarvasya bhava. All the energy is coming from Krishna, therefore all has to be offered back in, and that's the actual recycling. Because they're not doing that, they're not recycling, therefore there's so much pollution. Another interesting point that goes in line with this Bhagavan Singh under the interesting one is Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if it, just like it's saying, let my heart become clean, and then let me be able to shed teeth. So Prabhupada points out in the purport of the CC that if the devotee of the Lord becomes completely free from all offense, and he becomes to God Guru in the whole universe, becomes Krishna conscious under his influence. So the idea is the more that we become purified, the more we're actually able to have an impact on the universe.
As Prabhupada said about our movement, purity is the force. And it's very, very powerful. Actually, we have the means to, and this kind of power ultimately becomes political power also. It will. It'll translate into whatever is necessary. Because Prabhupada, you know, if you read the first canto of Bhagavatam, there's whole instructions for political science. Why is it in there? Prabhupada, at one point, he had this In God We Trust party for purified leaders. You know, just to try it out. It was fun while it lasted. It was very interesting.
And I helped that campaign in Gainesville.
You were with Amarinda. Yeah, I was running for Congress in Philadelphia as one of the
City Council.
No, Congress.
Oh, Congress.
Second Congressional District. Yeah. There was one guy in New York City, myself in Philadelphia, Jagannath Sutta in New York. I was in Philadelphia, Damodar in Washington D.C., Balavant in Atlanta, and Amarendra in Gainesville. Yeah. Yeah, that was the five candidates. Now that was far out.
It was quite
Well, I used to stand in front of political groups, you know, and talk to them about the Krishna consciousness. I wore a coat and tie. We had, our hair was long, but we had sika and we had tilak. I used to start by taking out a dollar bill and I'd point out how it said "In God We Trust" on the Havzar's "In God We Trust" party. Prabhupada named it. Yeah, people, and then people, we started to make sense. People thought, these guys are really weird. And then they listen and we start to make sense to them. It was an interesting experience. I ran into some politicians years later. He said, "Wow, I never forget that day you came and talked to the West Mount Airy neighbors." He said, "That was the best one, the best one was my political life." He said, "And after you left, we discussed the different candidates and we decided you were the best one, but it's really a shame you didn't stand the chance of a snowball in hell getting elected." But Prabhupada was serious about this. He's changing the world, you know, eventually. Anything else? Any other questions, comments, discussion about this? So you take this with you, huh? You can and read these purports a few times and memorize these verses. I think they're very, very useful for our Krishna consciousness movement.
Yeah. We
know that one. Now you know what it means, huh? Yeah, it's in these two verses also. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah. Somewhere around there's my little map of Jambudvipa. Right? Thank you.
That's a common American expression. Not the chance of hell is predicted. In the West, hell is completely fire. So always think of it as fire. So a snowball in hell just makes you disappear fast. Yeah, I know, that became complicated. Yeah.
This kind of religious status.
Yep.
Funded and political.
The funny thing was how when Jimmy Carter later ran for president at the time in Balavanta there, Balavanta was the, Carter was the governor of Georgia, so he was in Atlanta. When he ran for president, he used some of Balavanta's lines. They used to ask Balavanta, you don't have any experience. And Balavanta said, experience? Nixon had experience. Just shut him up. You know. So Carter used the same lines.
Carter, and he was pure,
yeah. Yeah, because our platform is that at least the leaders have to follow the four regulative principles. We aren't asking the voters, but the leaders have to be pure. In God We Trust Party.
Bhagavad Gita ended in there.
Huh?
Yeah. When Carter visited India, he was reading Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. Remember, his sister came to the State of the Jubilee Temple. Guest downstairs. Sister, her name was Rose Carter. And she had been a Peace Corps worker or something in India, and she came back. Carter came. He addressed the Parliament in India, and he had those people standing up and cheering. He gave one of the best speeches I ever heard a politician give. So he talked about Mahatma Gandhi and what he did for India, and he said, in America, for so many years we had this segregation and this racial injustice, and it was inspired by Mahatma Gandhi that Martin Luther King managed to break down the system on a nonviolent basis. So, you know, the United States has immense debt to India, and we have to thank you very much. And people just were like tears, you know. He was really a great speech, you know.